Welcome to your home for Red Fox Athletic News. This is the Hartsville Sports Network podcast. Here are your hosts, Andrew, Damaya, and Antonio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Hartsville Sports Network podcast. I'm your host, Andrew Jaworski, and today I'm joined by
Damaya Bishop
and Antonio Hicks.
You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, Spotify, and of course, the home of the Red Foxes, hhsredfoxes.com. Make sure to like, share, subscribe, and 5-star rate. So, how's our week been, guys?
My week was good. I was a little cold at the game, but it was a good game.
That's what's up.
Oh, yeah.
My week was good. I went to the Clemson game. And yeah, the first half was disappointing. They played UConn.
Did they win?
Yeah, they won. But I mean, I don't know what's gotten into Clemson this year. But first play, kicked it off. He ran it back for a touchdown.
Why would you go to a Clemson game?
I don't know, man. You know, free tickets, man. So
yeah, free tickets.
Any chance you get, I go. So what about you, bro?
I went to church yesterday. Played some basketball. Learned about some Lord and Savior.
Okay.
Then I had a test earlier this week. You know, I made a 90 on it. You know.
Yeah, I'm proud of you, bro.
I'm pushing for that 2.5 GPA. Let's go. Hey, it's better than my old one. Now it's time for our favorite segment, Red Fox Week in Review.
Congrats to the boys basketball team being ranked number 5 in 4A this year. We also want to congratulate to Tristan Alexander for his selection as a top 5 senior in 4A. The Red Fox basketball team starts its season playing in the Holiday Hoop Fest preseason tournament at C.A. Johnson High School in Columbia. They will take on First Baptist on the 23rd of November at 7 o'clock p.m.
And now for football. Last week, the Hartsville Red Foxes played the second round of the playoffs against North Myrtle Beach. The defense came out laying the wood through all four quarters, and the offense responded by upping the score, leaving the Red Foxes with the win 31-12. Next week, the Red Foxes will have yet another home game against the West Florence Knights for the third round of the playoffs. Good luck, Foxes.
And that's our Red Fox Week in Review.
We would like to welcome to the show the head of the boys basketball team, Coach E.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Good. Good.
How's your day going?
It's going good. I'm thank you for having me on.
Yes, sir.
Like my man said on Coming to America, very happy to be here.
What? All right. Man. All right, we got some icebreakers for you today.
Okay.
All right. Michael Jordan or LeBron James?
That's not even a question.
It's not.
It's not even a question. The greatest ever to walk the planet. Michael Jordan.
I thought you were about to say LeBron.
Ever to what you saying off of?
I'm going to let you go.
All I have to say is 6 times to the championship. 6 championships.
5 MVPs.
Wait. 6 MVPs, 6 championship game MVPs, and none of his championships went to game 7. So when it was time to close the door, guess what he did? Close the door.
You right? All right.
LeBron ain't did that.
Yeah.
You know you're a bad such and such when people still wear your shoes and you ain't played in 20 years.
You right. I can't argue about that.
All right. Shoes go for 300. LeBron's go 400.
Yeah, you're right about that.
Favorite fast food?
I try to stay away from fast food. I try to stay away from it. I'm not saying I don't eat it, but I try to stay away from it. My favorite fast food would have to be... What? Zesto. Nah. That ain't fast food. Zesto's ain't fast food, but shouts out to Zesto's, boy. I don't know where they find them chicken, but... Shouts out to those chickens that die for that. Because that chicken be good.
Imagine you eating that. Like,
man, listen, you don't understand. Zesto chicken make you do something to people. I think fast food, I would go McDonald's and stuff. I would say McDonald's. Don't nothing beat a Big Mac.
No. McDonald's is cheap and good. So, I
mean, yeah, don't let them beat a Big Mac. It's a lot of bread, yeah. But you know, it, don't let them beat it.
So I heard you was a cook. So like, what's your favorite thing to cook?
You know what I'm saying? They call me chef here. You know what I mean? I would say it depends on my feet, on my mood. I cook when I'm deep in thought. So a lot of times I cook during the season. And the team usually comes over for Sunday dinners. But I mainly, when I'm by myself, I cook for, you know, to meditate a little bit. So I think my favorite thing to cook, I love learning new things. So I watch cooking shows, and so I'll try the stuff on cooking shows. So like a pan-seared salmon or with some roasted asparagus and some stuff like that. I tried a ginger and carrot puree the other day with a, I did it on the side of a pan-seared salmon, which was topped with a frisée salad. So
you took pictures of it?
I always take pictures.
Hey. Why don't show us?
Well, if my Instagram was public, then people could see it, but it's private.
Is salmon good?
Yeah, no. It is. If it's cooked right. Salmon's amazing if it's cooked right. You gotta get it. You can't. Don't buy the frozen out the pack. Like, you gotta go to the fish market.
Oh, I know. Trust me. And I know that. And yeah. Any fish. What's your favorite brand of shoes?
Oh, well, I said it earlier. J's, man.
Can't go wrong.
Nah. And I'm a sneakerhead, so I do Jordans, Forces, Air Maxes. But Jordans is that. That's my. You go know. To. Hey. Put it on butter because that's my. Put it on bread because that's my jam.
What's your favorite basketball team?
The New York Knicks. Been a Knicks fan since. Well, actually, I was a bandwagon fan for a lot of my younger life because I was a Michael Jordan fan, and I think a lot of people don't understand. Like, I don't understand how you change teams. Mm-hmm. So those people that were Patriots fans and now they Tampa Bay fans, just admit that you're a Tom Brady fan.
Yeah.
You know those people that were Cavalier fans, and then they were Miami fans, and then they were Cavalier fans again, and then now they're Laker fans. Like, just, you know, get off the bandwagon. Just say you're a LeBron fan. So growing up, I was a bandwagoner. I was a Michael Jordan fan. I was a huge fan of Michael Jordan. So when I realized that I was just a Michael Jordan fan was when he retired the second time. I was like, I really don't like the Chicago team. I don't like these guys. So I said, why I don't like the Knicks? I'm from New York. I've been to a million Knicks games. Why don't I like the Knicks? So I like the Knicks, and I've been following them ever since. So that's probably since about 99. I've been a Knicks fan since about 99.
You ever, like, watched, like, someone hit a game winner, like, at a Knicks game or something?
Yeah, I've seen a couple of them. I was there. I was at the Garden the night Michael Jordan went for 55, the double nickel. So I've seen some games. I'm there.
All right. For the real questions, where in New York are you from?
I'm from the only city that counts in New York, the only borough, because it's the difference between New York, New York City, because New York City is within New York State. And then within the city, there are the five boroughs. And I'm from the only borough that counts. I'm from Brooklyn. See, you about to mess up already. I'm from Brooklyn.
I never knew that. That's probably why your mouth so smart, ain't it?
What you mean? What you mean by that?
I think that's why. It makes sense now. It all added up.
What, that I'm from New York?
Yes.
That's why my mouth.
Yes.
I don't think. People call me rude. I don't think I'm rude or
it's
smart
just
mouth.
You.
Or,
like, you don't mean no harm, but it's just you.
Yeah, you don't mean no harm, but it's just like.
Yeah.
I tell the truth.
Yeah, you just blunt.
I mean, you straightforward.
Yeah, I tell it like it is. Okay. All jokes aside, I think that we live in a society where people are afraid to speak their mind. And I think that when you're afraid to speak your mind, you handcuff yourself mentally. I go to sleep great every night, understanding that I said what I wanted to say. And you know, everybody knows exactly how I feel. And there's no wondering with me. It's always, hey, this is what it is. Like, you want to know where I stand? Ask me. I'll tell you. And sometimes you don't even ask me, and I tell you. You know?
You good, bro. Did you play any sports growing up?
Yes. Little known fact. I got a couple of little known facts here. All right, so played football. I started out playing street football, and I was the best street football player And it, seriously, I was always the first pick. And I played running back and wide receiver and then some quarterback and all of that. And then I said, that was middle school. Then we got to high school. I backtrack a little bit. When I was in middle school, I ended up in a gang. So I never played any sports in middle school because I was too busy in the street doing foolishness. Ended up getting in trouble my ninth grade year at high school in New York. And my grandmother, who I was living with, my mom had moved out to Jersey. My grandmother said, I can't take it no more. You got to go stay with your mom. And so I went to go live with my mom. Didn't want to go. But when I went there, I went ahead and my cousin played football. My cousin lived out in Jersey. He played football. He said, man, you good. You need, because we used to play in the park. Man, you need to come play for the team. So went play for the team. And playing football with pads on, it's a whole lot different than playing football without pads on.
Yeah.
Like, for some odd reason, you would figure that you would do more with pads on, but you do less with pads on. So my first time, I didn't know. They said, what position you play? I said, running back. So they stuck me out there, running back. Well, they said, they called a play, and I've never done anything organized before. So the hole opens up. I just know I get the ball, and I run that way. So I'm running that way as fast as I can. And I got like one step past the line, and there was a line. I remember his name to this day. His name was Stanikin Gibbs. He ended up playing for Syracuse. He was our middle linebacker. All I saw was his eyes and then the sky. And that was it. And I continued to play, but after that play, they gave me a nickname. All right. They gave me a nickname because no matter, it was that play and then a couple of others, I was just getting lit up because I just wanted to play. So I didn't care where you put me. I was going to be out there running around. So what happened is I was on scout team, and they always knew, you know, in my sophomore year, they'd be like, hey, man, give it my nickname. I ain't going to bring that up on the show. But what they ended up calling me after that, and some of my homeboys from back home still call me this to this day, because they gave everybody, I was on JV, they gave everybody on JV a name. And my nickname was Crash Dummy. Because no matter what, you suffer, get out there, you be the Crash Dummy. But they called me Crash Dummy because I would just run in there with no problem. Then my junior year, jeez, Demaya, you killing me.
All right, I'm good.
All right, so what ends up happening is, I ended up, my junior year, I said, I don't like getting hit at all. So my junior year, I went out and played corner. And while I was playing corner, I did really well. We ended up being the first team in my school's history to make it to state. And I was at corner. I was a starting corner every down. Now, our quarterback was this kid named Paco. And Paco had set, he had broke every record that year for quarterback, every record of quarterback could hold in Jersey. Paco was one of the biggest drug dealers in my city. So he ends up getting locked up going into his junior year because he was a sophomore. So now there's no quarterback. We have these young corners coming up that my defense coordinator comes to me and says, Coach Ike, look, you know, God rest the dead. Coach Ike says, Yusuf, you ain't starting next year as a senior. I said, what? I said, them boys ain't even got here yet. Yeah, but they're better than you. Now. Nah. So I said, all right, so what positions are open? He said, well, Paco ain't going to be playing next year for obvious reasons. He said, can you throw? I said, well, I could throw when I need to. So he was like, if you want to start, he said, if you want to play your senior year, what is with you? He says, if you want to play, you killing me to my stop.
All right.
Oh my God. So he goes, if you want to play your senior year, you got to play quarterback. Okay, fine. So Coach V, I can't look at my anymore. So my coach's name was Nick Varinelli. And so Coach V was like, all right, he had to change the whole offense because Paco had an arm. Me, under 20 yards, we good. Anything after 20 was going to die. Like the ball goes.
Just imagine Coach G throwing a ball and it ain't going nowhere. Oh my goodness.
Now mind you, now I'm gonna tell you what's crazy. All of our receivers came back. So we had a six, Jamal Coon was 6'4", Charles Edie was 6'5". Speed, Charles Edie ran track. And then on the outside, we had another kid named Ahmad. Ahmad was about 6 foot. And those guys had all been a part of this offense that was, I mean, it was clicking. Here I come. And we had a running back, went to Rutgers University, called Terrence. And so I'm good. Spring ball, starting. Summer, I'm starting. So we good. I got my chest poked out. School start. And we get a transfer student in. So kid about 6'3". And everybody like, yo, what position you play? You know, I play quarterback. So I'm like, I ain't got nothing to worry about. I'm starting already. You know what I'm saying? So I go in, I run my little routes, you know, I throw the ball. So then they said, all right, his name was Aki. So Aki gets in, and they like, they throw the route. Now, mind you, they would run Edie on a five on a nine route, and then they would run Ahmad underneath that on an out or a slant. And those are the only ones I would hit. Anything, like I said, if I had to throw it to Edie, I had to throw it when he was at 10 yards so he could catch it at 20 and he could keep going. So, Aki dropped back and waited and then threw that sucker like 50, 60 yards in the air. And I'm standing next to Coach Ike. And Coach Ike put his arm around me. He said, well, you want to come back to the defense? So that was football. So I played football all my years in high school. And then basketball. See, once again, I was a knucklehead. So I'd be eligible for football. And while football season was going on, I ain't doing no work. So now basketball roll around. So now my sophomore year, made varsity. They did the eligibility. I got cut because I wasn't eligible. My junior year, made varsity again. Now, mind you, my sophomore year, they won state. My junior year, I made varsity again. They cut me because I wasn't eligible. Guess what they did? Won state.
Oh.
My senior year, I go in the room, and they have, you know, they have whatever sport, they have a meeting before they actually have tryouts. So I'm in the meeting, and coach walks in, and he looks at me and he says, English. I said, yeah. He said, man, you ain't gonna get my hopes up again. Get out. I said, what? He said, all right, now check your grades before we got here. You supposed to be playing for the last 2 years and you still ain't got it together. Get out. So I always played park basketball. I never had the opportunity to play high school basketball because I just didn't understand the importance of grades. And I think that was one of the things that held me back, was just the importance of grades. And that's why I'm on my players today, is because I feel like I missed out on a lot of opportunities and my route was a whole lot longer than it had to be because I didn't find the importance in education. And then I played baseball in high school. I was starting shortstop. Oh. And I played left field as well. I was leadoff hitter. You know, I wasn't going to hit the home run, but I wasn't going to strike out. I was going to steal a couple bases, and that was about it. Now, I played that for 2 years, my junior and senior year, and I actually had an opportunity. There was a school called Bloomfield College, New Jersey, who had some interest in me to play baseball. And so I went to Bloomfield College to start out. I was only there for like a semester. I got into some trouble and got put out, which kind of led me down quite a rabbit hole up until, you know, and that's pretty much high school. That's sports for me. I pretty much played them all. Yeah.
Do you think if you would have played like organized high school basketball, you would have a different view of coaching?
No. I think I have the view of coaching because of what I went through. And I know y'all probably have this question later, so I kind of want to save it for later. But I think that sometimes you end up with a perspective on life and the things that you should be doing from the mistakes that you make. And I think had I been offered this opportunity to, had I just did enough to be eligible to play basketball, I still wouldn't have went to college to play basketball because I wouldn't have been eligible. I was just doing enough. So when it was time for me to play football by my senior year, I had straight D's my junior year to be able to play that summer, to be able to play that next year. And the only reason I did that was because, shoot, I'm starting. Not little did I know I wasn't going to be starting the entire when it started. But, you know, you gotta make sure. My view is because of those things. the way I approach coaching is that, because I approach coaching, I don't care if I win or lose a game. I don't care if we win a state championship or not. And that's weird to say on the air, right? I care if those boys go to college. That's my first job. My first job is that my players go to college. It is not to win a state championship. And I remember my mentor telling me when I got my first job, he said, what's your first job? I said, I got to win games. That's all I got to do, win games. And he said, no, that's not your first job. He said, your first job is to make sure your players graduate from high school on time. He said, your second job is to make sure they go to college to play basketball or have a plan, because everybody's not a college basketball player. And then he said, third, if you're focusing on college basketball, having college basketball players, guess what you're going to do? You're going to win, because you're the only team that got college basketball players. And right now, my starting five, all Tristan has committed to a Division II, so he's a college basketball player. Jamari has multiple offers. Cam has multiple interests. DeAndre has multiple interests. And Zaki has multiple schools that are interested in him. So I have, my starting five is five college basketball players. So the only thing that can happen is if college basketball caliber players are playing against non-college basketball caliber players, what should happen?
You win.
You should win. Yeah, so.
Yeah, you kind of answered this, but you got something you want to say to Mike?
Go.
No, go ahead.
All right, man. You say you went to Bloomfield College, didn't you? Mm-hmm. How was that first semester like there?
Once again, mistakes. I had to get away from my environment to be successful. I was just one of those. It was too much within my community that was holding me back that I had to leave. I had to get out. So while I was at Bloomfield College was 30 minutes from my house. So I went to class and I was smart enough to pass tests, but I was doing other things that I shouldn't have been doing. You know, I'm against, I don't think athletes should smoke weed. Against it, wholeheartedly. How do I know that? I was an athlete who smoked weed. Worst decision I ever made in my life. Made me make bad decisions. So when all of those things happen, you don't know how much that's taking a toll on you, bad decision upon bad decision, as little as it may seem. One thing led to another that led to another that led to another that led to me getting kicked out my first semester of college. Now, I'll tell you guys off air exactly what happened, but one thing led to another that got me put out. And then that led to me even put out my mama house, which led to me being homeless, which led to, so you go through these, you don't understand how one domino can knock over the whole table because you're focused on the one domino, not realizing that there's more after that.
So what brought you to South Carolina?
Just that. I think when I graduated high school, I went to Bloomfield. I got kicked out. I kind of bounced around different things to do, in and out of the street. And then I was a friend of mine. Well, I wouldn't say a friend of mine. My girlfriend at the time. She came down here to go to school at Allen University. And she came home, and she literally came home to break up with me when she came home from school. She came to break up with me. And she's at the house, and she was like, yeah, I can't do this. I was like, why? She was like, because what happens when people go to school and you don't is they see a future. You know, when they go away to college, it's now they can start to see themselves build, and then they come back and they see you, and you, they've progressed and you're still in the same spot. And she couldn't take that. So she was like, why don't you just come to school with me? I said, college, you know me in college, it don't work. She's like, no. I said, and then I said, ain't no college gonna take me. She's like, no, the school I go to, at the time, Allen was taking anybody. Like, all you had to do is fill out the application and show up. And so she brought me the application. It's at the time, you know. Right now, Allen has grown. So don't laugh at my school now. I got a good degree from there. She said, just counsel. I didn't believe her. So I get on the train. Her uncle lived in Sumter. I came down here and I had my application in my hand and 2 weeks worth of clothes because I didn't believe her. I said, worst thing could happen, I'll be in South Carolina for 2 weeks and who knows what trouble I could get into. I was 21. And I gave them my application. They said, go over to the dorm and Philip said, fill out this paperwork and then go over to the dorm. And I was a college student. Man, I ended up here and somehow got stuck. So I'm still here.
Man, that's crazy.
That was 2000. And that was January of 2000. And I'm still here.
Was coaching always your plan?
No. No. Early on, I hated kids. So, no, it was definitely not in the plan. That's a joke. Y'all laugh at the stuff that ain't funny, but you don't laugh at the funny stuff. No, but coaching wasn't always the plan. It's something that kind of fell in my lap. After I graduated with my degree in English from Allen. I must say, cum laude. You know, some people graduate magna cum laude, summa cum laude, and oh, thank you, laude. They just happen to graduate. And I happened to graduate with honors. And I didn't know what I wanted to do. And I ended up working for the YMCA. They gave me my first job. And I realized that I wanted to work with kids to not go down my route. Well, so what was I going to do? Well, as a freshman at Allen, I was practicing with the basketball team. So my first week of practice, I blew my knee out completely. So there goes basketball. But the coach, after my junior year, he allowed me to come on as a student assistant coach. And I just wanted something to do with my time, basically. And so I said, well, what's the best way at this point, you know, fast forward to after I graduate, I figured the best way to pull kids in to help them. Everybody likes basketball. So I started my own AAU program, but it was a mentoring program. So the kids had to come in. They got to play basketball. We got to go to tournaments, but the only way you went to the tournament was you had to have your grades right. And you had to come to the mentoring sessions, which was every Wednesday. And then that kind of built up my passion for coaching, because then I figured out, oh, I'm pretty good at this. And then I kind of built and built. And then I ended up with my first basketball job coaching girls under Coach Josh Daly at OW. I was a JV girls basketball coach. Now, coaching girls is a lot different than coaching boys. I was, my first game, I got beat 56-7, my first game coaching. So, yes, I know. Yeah, that's it. I was on the bus on the way back to the school, and I could not figure out for the life of me why I wanted to coach. Like, I was like, this is not for me. And I called my brother Doc, and he goes, what'd he say? I said, Joe, I got beat. I said, well, I lost. He said, I was only the first game. What was the score? I told him the score, and he said an explicit word. And he was like, oh, my God. He said, what happened? I said, I don't know. I just know the final score was 56-7. So he said, what you going to do? I said, I'm going to quit. What you mean what I'm going to do? I am done. I'm not doing this no more. It's with you. So he said, he was like, all right, he said, do this. He said, when y'all next game? I think it was a Monday game, so next game was Thursday. He said, when you go to practice, just tell them to score 8. Okay, we're going to focus on scoring 8 points. Go to practice, I drill 8 points. We're going to score 8 points. So everything we did was around scoring 8 points, right? We go and we play Lake Marion, right? What is with you? We go and we're focused on scoring these 8 points. We get into the game, we lose, right? We lose 21-11. So as soon as the bus gets back, I get in my car, I call my brother and I curse him out. I said, what did you tell me to do? We still lost. And he says, what was the score? I said, 21-11. He said, well, they scored more than me. And I said, hold on, man. Like, he said, all right. He said, now guess what you got to tell him to do next time? I said, what, score 12? He said, yeah, tell him to score 12. So I go in with the mindset, ladies, good job. I went in there and said, hey, the goal was 8 and we scored 11. So in essence, they did reach their goal, because the emphasis don't need to be on winning. It needs to be on getting better. That was the lesson my brother was trying to teach me that I didn't see in the moment, because I just wanted to quit. So then I said, hey, ladies, let's just improve on that. Let's score 12. Next game we play Eau Claire, we win 32-6. And then we don't lose another game for the rest of the season.
Dang.
So after that season, I interviewed for Demarcola High School. I end up head coach there. While I'm there, I get there, and they hadn't won a game in 4 years. And by the time I left there, my last season there, we were 21-2, number one in the state, third round. We was one game away from the lower state. We got upset by Carvers Bay. Me and Coach Mez still have conversations about that. I think he cheated, which he didn't. It was in Denmark. I still clown him about that. But it's just, you see the progression of stuff. And then after that, I ended up here in Hartsville. And that's how I ended up here. And that's how coaching has kind of progressed for me. And I love what I do.
What are some hobbies that you enjoy doing outside of basketball?
I like watching TV. I love podcasting. So, you know, I want to say you guys are doing a great job. I don't tell you this all the time. I know I teach you, but I don't tell you this all the time. But you guys are doing a great job. I'm really hard on you. So, y'all, except for AJ. AJ, I don't know what he be doing. Nah, I'm really hard on you guys, but it's good to see the progression of the show. You know, people that listen outside of the school, they always tell me to tell you guys you're doing a good job. So podcasting is what I love to do. I love spending time with my kids, all of my kids, and then my cooking and listening to jazz music. That's my thing.
Favorite jazz singer.
My favorite jazz musician. You got to come to them. You got to come with them.
Man. Favorite jazz musician.
Well, my favorite singer, since that's the first one, is Sade. You don't know who that is. So what you ask me for? No, I know. But no, Sade. I could listen to Sade all day. I love Dizzy Gillespie. It's too many to name. I just put it on the Pandora station for smooth jazz, and I rock out. Like, you know, I enjoy my time.
So where you see yourself from, like, the next 5 to 10 years?
I don't know where I'm gonna be tomorrow, so I don't know. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know. 5 to 10 years, I see myself still coaching basketball here at Hartsville High School. I think I found a home here, which is, you know, for somebody who was homeless, it's hard, is good to say. You know, when you find a home and you find some people that, I love working for Mr. Lewis, the administration, Coach Boob's a great AD. And I think from being in these different places and coaching in these different places, I'm not saying the people I've come across ain't been good people, but you never find the right mix of combination. And that's like here at Hartsville, and I'm not saying that because I'm here, because y'all said it before, I'm brutally honest, so I wouldn't lie about it. I probably wouldn't say anything about it right now, but you know, you can't find a good mix of people that you just love coming to work for. Like, when I'm out of work, it's literally for a reason. Like, I will come to work on my deathbed, you know what I'm saying, because I love coming to work here every day. Between the kids and the staff, and you know, my boys are in a good school. They go to Carolina Elementary and they love it. You know, I just love it here. So, you know, outside of, you know, everything closes at 8 o'clock at night, you know, I'm all right.
Take us through a regular practice as a Red Fox basketball player.
Oh, if they make me upset, or if they come in okay?
Both.
Because they don't want to come to practice today.
Oh.
I did the stats from our scrimmage. Oh, they don't want to come to practice today.
Oh.
But regular practice, they would come in. They do dynamic warm-up. We play fast-paced, so our practices are fast-paced. We don't have water breaks. We don't have water breaks. Like, if they want to get water, water's available, but they have to be at the back of a drill line. So if you've done the drill and you're at the back, you got however many seconds to get that water and get back in the line, because we want constant movement. I think that how you practice is how you play. So, and in basketball is a sport where there's going to be a chance where we might be on the floor and nobody calls a timeout for 10-minute stretches or 15-minute stretches. How they going to get water then?
That makes sense, though.
Yeah.
How they gonna get water then? I can't throw it out there to them. Like football, you could go to the sideline and kind of stand there. They throw your water bottle, squirt, 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 and then you go back in because you got enough time. Especially if you're on the defensive side of the ball. Basketball, they doing this. Back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. I don't have, maybe on a foul shot, but how many times is a person gonna be by me? Tristan does it a lot. What's that? Gotta get the water, gotta get the water, gotta get the water. You know, the one kid that refuses to do it is Zaki. Zaki would rather die on the court than get water. But, you know, it's how you practice is how you play. The mentality. So we practice like that, high speed. I'm on them every single, like, I don't let up. Like, I'm hard to play for. I'm very hard to play for because it takes a special type of kid to play for me because I'm on you. And I don't let up because nothing is perfect. Nothing will ever be perfect. But I tell them every single day, our goal is to be perfect every day. Because in the pursuit of perfection, there's greatness. So if you are fighting your behind off to set the screen in the right spot at the right time to make the right decision with the basketball, guess what's going to happen? Perfection. You know, we're going to be great because we're chasing, doing everything. It's attention to detail. Like football, the defensive linemen are always my heroes because their job is to get blocked. Their job is not to make plays. So sometimes you have a job to do that affects the whole. And the problem is sometimes people want to be the superstar, and you may see this on the defensive end. A defensive lineman might go, oh, I can make the swim move. And then cut down, and then what happened? Back bends out, and now since he swam the tackle or the guard or whatever, now they could reach on the linebacker. So now the running back or whoever it is now on the second level already. And the second level is usually what, Tony, what, 3-5 yards downfield? Yeah. And then now Calabrese on your behind because he's seen you getting blocked and didn't see the swim move by the superstar.
Missing assignments.
Exactly. So it's the same thing that applies in basketball. We don't have plays that are set for people. We have plays that are set for somebody to be open. So whoever's open takes the shot. And our team this year does a great job of that.
How important do you feel is the offseason for your players in preparing?
Offseason is important for any sport you play. I don't care what sport it is. If you ain't putting in the work in the offseason, forget sport. If you a writer, you need to be in the offseason when the lights is out. Like, you need to be working. If you want to go to that next level. Now, if all you want to be is Hartsville's finest, by all means, you don't have to do the off-season work. But if you're trying to get to that next level and you're trying to make something out of what you're doing, whether it's cheer, football, rapping, you know what I'm saying, writing, you got to be working when in off-season. And there's always an off-season for everything you do. So,
as the season begins to progress, what are your goals for your players and yourself?
My goals for my players are the same goals every year for them to go to college. The goal for myself is to make sure they go to college, and that's every day. And then we say when we was on our championship run last year, when we found out we was playing in the region tournament and in the board. In the locker room, we made some stairs. And we put the different rounds on the stair and on the staircase. And every time we came in, because we never knew who we were playing on the next stair. So since you don't know what you're doing, because you don't never know what's gonna happen at the next step, all you could do is deal with the first step. Let me get on this first step, then I could worry about the next step. So every time we would erase a step, and then we would add the next team and erase the step and add the next team. So it's just a matter of, I just tell them, we have a goal of just putting one foot in front of the other. So is our goal, overall goal, a state championship? Yes. If anybody to tell you they don't want a state championship, don't need to be coaching. So our overall goal is a state championship. And the only way you can do it is by focusing about what you can see. And right now, what we can see right now is First Baptist, which is our first game. So that's the first step. And if you deal with everything step by step, conquer each step, and you get to your goal.
That was first game, a home game?
Well, our first regular season game is AC Flora home, November 11th. Oh, yeah, just let y'all know, that is the November 30th? I'm sorry. November 11th passed. My apologies, y'all. November 30th is our first home game. That is going to be free student night, so the students are going to be able to get in free.
Oh, yeah.
And it's where we talked to Coach Staley. He's talking with his student section, and it's the battle of the student sections.
So everybody come out.
Yeah, so, you know, come out, support them boys, man. And it's senior night. So
Oh, yeah.
And it's going to be You know, we're gonna have a DJ. It's gonna be live, man. It's gonna be a what they call a movie.
First game of the opening season,
man. First game of the season, yeah.
They should let me perform my song.
Oh, we got you. Come on now, halftime. Just no cursing.
Yeah,
just no cursing. I won't cuz I got the instrumental on.
Right. Okay, all right, man.
I'll do it too.
We got you.
You said your players use a lot of quotes during practice. Is there a certain one you live by?
I live by the one that I live by the most is a Will Smith quote. He says, there's no reason for plan B because it distracts from plan A. If you go through life, I believe if you go through life worrying about if things don't happen, what you're going to do if things don't happen, you don't put 100% into what you want to make happen. And I want to make things happen. And so if I have a goal, I woke up one day and said, hey, I want to start a clothing line. And guess what I did? Started a clothing line. I want to start a brand. I started it. I didn't worry about what was going to happen if I invested this money and it didn't work. I went in and did it. I said, hey, man, I got with some guys. Hey, I want to start a podcasting company. I just woke up one day and said that. Guess what I did? Started a podcasting company. So I think I didn't think about what was going to happen if it failed. When I came, prime example, I came to South Carolina, no plan. I want an education. I want to do something with myself.
I don't think about failure.
Yeah, but I think the failure is a part of life, though. But if you're, the reason I say I live by that quote is, if I'm chasing my plan A, other opportunities just present themselves.
Oh, yeah.
They just present themselves because you're doing what you're supposed to do to get to wherever you want to be. So these other opportunities will present themselves if you're chasing that goal. If your goal is to be a college football player, guess what you're going to end up? Let's say your goal is to be an NFL football player. Antonio said that's your goal. And you put your heart and soul and every single waking moment into it. Guess what you end up with? You end up with a college scholarship. Now, let's say you don't end up going to the NFL. Guess what you get for free? A college degree. Yeah. And something that you can go and get a job with. So plan B just kind of happened. Plan A was this. And then you used whatever it was, that goal, that drive, that everything. And it just didn't work. It's not necessarily failure because only 1% of people make it to the NFL. 1%, I think it's less than 1% for the NBA. But you gotta work for it. So you chase it, and then your backup plan just kind of happens. So that's what I live by.
What do you want the Red Fox fans to know about your team this year?
That we're gonna be something to watch. I think all of my teams since I've been here have played hard and have been really good. I've been blessed with a lot of talented teams since being here. This group here is a special group in that they just want to win so bad. They want we tasted that lower state last year, and they really, I've never seen guys work from top to bottom. They work hard. They're pushing each other. I breed family on my teams. You know, every time we break out of a huddle, it's family. And that's because I think that you may fight with your brother in the house, but ain't nobody outside the house gonna fight your brother without you jumping in. And so they have arguments and stuff in practice. They're competitive, they go after each other, but that's in, yo, we gotta make each other better. If we're not going after each other in practice, or getting in arguments, or getting in little fights and stuff like that in practice, what do you think gonna happen outside? There has to be some level of something to it. And these guys have all bought into that. Like, they get after each other in practice like nothing I've ever seen. They go after each other. And then when we're in the game, it gets turned up a little bit more because now, shoot, I like you. Now another team, I don't like them.
Yeah.
So now they really about to get it. And and the reason I go with family is because I equate a contest, a sports contest, to going to war. All right, so that's like my analogy. And I tell them, I've said this to them before, y'all don't trust each other, because this is, I think it's about 2 years ago. I said, y'all don't trust each other because y'all not playing together. And I said, so if we're in war, I can't go to war against people, and they got guns. And I got to worry about the people that got the guns that won't, that's on the other team. And I got to worry about you with your gun that might shoot me. How are we going to survive? How am I going to get out of here? I got to protect myself. But these guys genuinely trust each other, and they'll go to war for each other. No, hands down. So that's what I want them to know is please come and watch them and support these guys. We would love to have the stands filled every night. We know it's not possible for every night, but if you come, you're definitely about to be a part of something special this year. You say you've seen it first.
We'd like to thank you for your time.
I appreciate you having me.
You want to shout anybody out?
Yeah, man. Why you about to laugh already?
Cause you funny, like.
Shout outs. You know, shouts out. I'm trying not to be corny, like. You know,
if that you, then that you. Just shout somebody out.
Okay. All right. I got a shout out. Shout out to shout out to Demias Braces.
All right, see, yeah, you should have cut that to yourself.
Shouts out to AJ's Rockets jersey.
Yeah, you are.
And there we go. It says AJ on the back.
Yes, sir.
And shouts out to Antonio's barber who hasn't seen him yet.
Oh, my God. Gosh, man. I'm going to get it done today.
Shouts out to my team. I know I joke and clown a lot, but I enjoy being here with you guys. Shouts out to y'all and what you're doing. I want to shout out the administration for, you know, give Dr. Burry and Coach Griggs for giving me this opportunity to work here. And then Mr. Lewis and Coach Boob for continuing to have me here. And then my players and the parents that support us. And shouts out to my kids. They put up with a lot. Like, as a basketball coach, they're in the gym running around every single day. They don't get home till 9 o'clock. My daughter is a cheerleader and my other daughter is a basketball player. And so just shout out to them for understanding that why daddy can't be at everything. And so I definitely want to shout out my family and my support system.
Thank you. You got any shout outs, Antonio?
Shout out to Coach Boo for making everything possible for this class and stuff like that. And Coach E coming together for it too. All
right. Facts.
I would like to shout out Coach E, I guess, and Tristan for being in what, the top five, ain't it?
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Shout that man out. Yeah. You know you want to shout him out.
All right.
No, I'm good. I just.
Yes.
Shout out my boy Zyke.
Okay.
And Tristan.
One more thing before y'all get out of here. Whatever it is that you want to do, do it. Whatever it is, just whoever's listening to this, you might have needed this. Whatever it is that you want to do, whatever it is you have said, I want to do this. Get off the couch, stop waiting on it, and go do it. The worst thing that can happen is it doesn't work. But guess what? If you don't do it, you'll never know.
That joint just hit different. I've been on the couch. I need
to get off the couch.
Thank you once again for listening to the Hartsville Sports Network podcast. Make sure to go to our first home game on November 30th and support the Red Foxes. You can listen to the Hartsville Sports Network on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, Spotify, and, of course, the home of the Red Foxes, hhsredfoxes.com. I'm your host, Andrew Jaworski, with
Demaya Bishop
and Antonio Hicks, and we're out. Boom! We'll be right back.